الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه فطاب من طيبهن القاء والأكم روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم. يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى ما أصاب من مصيبة إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها إن ذلك على الله يسير. وقال تعالى ما أصاب من مصيبة إلا بإذن الله. وقال تعالى ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. وقال تعالى وما أصابكم من مصيبة فبما كسبت أيديكم ويعفو عن كثير. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. In this ayat, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala explained very clearly to us the conditions which we find ourselves in. All the problems, catastrophes, droughts, floods, hurricanes, wars, fights in the family, between husband and wife, in the communities, all the differences that we are having, what the causes of them are, Allah has explained, and the solutions also. And for us, more we must pay attention to the solution. If we take on to the solution, we can have big, big discussions on the causes, but till we don't see what the solutions are, and more important than the solutions, to apply them, to practice upon them, not just to talk about them, hear about them, but to bring them in our lives, then the solution will come about. A young person was swimming, and he was drowning, so he shouted for help. So an elderly person standing there told him that, why are you swimming where there are no lifesavers? Why are you swimming when you don't know? So he said, uncle, first take me out, then you can lecture me. Now at the moment, save me, then you can lecture me as much as you want to. So the thing is, amal is required. We can keep on talking and giving bayans and all that, but how much we will practice, that will bring the result. So in this ayat, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala explained, Ma asaba min musibatin. No musibat of any kind reaches any people. Illa fi kitabim min qabli an nabraha. It was written in the kitab, Lawh-e Mahfuz. Before that musibat came in this world, it was written, it's going to happen. And this, according to hadith, is 50,000 years before Allah created the earth. And the earth, when it was created, for only Allah knows how long, the jinnat were inhabiting the earth. And they used to make, they were here, Allah's ibadat, everything. After that, Allah created Adam alayhi salam. After that, Adam alayhi salam came in this world. This world was also in existence since very long. And long before that, 50,000 years before Allah created the world, Allah wrote everything what is going to happen. So it's there, it's going to happen. We cannot change it. It's written, and what's in Lohe Mahfuz will come to pass. In the other ayat, Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala says, Ma asaba min musibatin illa bi idhnillah. That there isn't any musibat, any of these catastrophes, hardships, difficulties to come to any individuals, to collective people, but it is by the permission of Allah. Allah has permitted it. Allah, it's not that Allah doesn't know. Now some trouble have started. Allah save us all. Like we come to know somebody, close family, met up with an accident. We didn't know. We say, if I knew, I should have told you. Or some crook, robbery, crime. If I knew about it, I should tell you, be careful. It's not that Allah doesn't know. Allah knows. So this is a matter of taqdeer. And taqdeer is written down by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And Allah, taqdeer is the knowledge of Allah. Allah knows this is going to happen. So Allah recorded that. This is just a simple to understand. You know your son very well. And you tell him to go to a certain place. And you tell his mother, you tell your wife in the meantime, I told him to go there, but 100% he's going this other place. And Abad, he goes like that. Now you can't blame the father for that. That he gave him the instructions what to do. So Allah told us what to do. Allah knows what we are going to do also. Even before our action, Allah knows fully to the minutest detail what we are going to do. So Allah recorded it. So Allah is not to blame in the least, but this objection can come in our minds. When Allah knew, He could have stopped it. Like I know this is going to happen, and I have got the power to stop it, and Allah's Qudrat is above everything. So Allah could have stopped it. So the answer to that is straightforward. Allah has made this world in His system a test for us. If Allah by force made all except Iman, there is no test. Allah by force made all to be obedient to Him, then there is no test. Allah gave us an option. For the son, there is no Jannat and Jahannam. And there is no test for the son. That if you want to, you get up on time every day and you serve the creation. And if you are feeling tired, that's up to you then. No, it has to do. So all that, the taqweeni, the commands of Allah, which Allah has ordained, and the recipients of those commandments have got no choice. They have to do as Allah has ordained. There is no Jannat and Jahannam for them. Jannat and Jahannam are for those that Allah has given His commandments, and they have the choice now. They can do it, they cannot do it. And then Jannat and Jahannam is meaningful. Otherwise, there was no meaning to Jannat and Jahannam. So Allah Ta'ala could have stopped it, but then there would have been no test whatsoever. So it is by the permission of Allah. It is in the full knowledge of Allah. Then in the other two ayats, Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala explains that why this actually happens. We as the recipients, why do we do it? The one ayat Allah explains in a collective way, mankind at large, all the problems that come to us. Allah Ta'ala says, Zahar al-fasadu fil-barri wal-bahar. Fasad, all these problems, difficulties, hardships have come apparent on the land also and on the sea also. The tsunamis and all the other things which are happening in the seas also. Bima kasabat aydin nas. Because of what man has done, his actions have brought this. And that also, Allah shows His great knowledge, His great power, His great kindness. لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا. So that we make them taste some of what the wrong they have done. Not of all the wrong. If Allah is to take us to task for all the wrong we do as mankind, there wouldn't be a blade of grass that will grow. There wouldn't be a drop of water that will rain. There will be absolutely nothing. بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا. And that also is Allah's kindness. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. So that they could make tawbah and correct themselves. Like you have your son, you have your children, they do something wrong, you give them one slap. And that is why, just a small punishment, so that they don't do that again. They don't make that mistake again. So Allah has sent these conditions for us to take a lesson. But unfortunately, by and large, we go and investigate the cause of it. Allah has told us what's the cause. It's your action. And according to that, Allah has recorded this. But now we say we want to find out temperature change. And all the other scientific reasons behind all that. And we just all the time involved in those things. And the actual cause which Allah has given it to us, that we don't want to accept. Those who understand that it was our actions that have brought these things, then we correct those actions. But if we now put that one side, and we find some scientific cause which is not the real cause, but we in our limited knowledge, limited understanding, we ascribe it to this here, because of this, because of that, that is why this has happened, then we'll never ever get to the solution, we'll never get the cause of it, we won't know, and we will be just in a world of our own imagination and thinking. And the sad part, we would regard ourselves as very learned and very knowledgeable. We are great scientists, and we know the system of the world that is working. And all this Allah Ta'ala says, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. All this is only the apparent things of dunya. The asbab and the causes are only the outward apparent reasons for things happening in this world. And the world, the causes, and also the power of Allah, which is hidden, which we cannot see. So they don't know the unknown system of Allah. They don't know akhirat. All the decisions are made according to dunyas. The person has made his benchmark, his object, his purpose, and his actually object of causes. He has made that the wrong thing. So everything of his will be wrong. And we have to make the real thing, the akhirat, the pleasure of Allah, the qudrat of Allah. We have to see in that light. A Turkish poet says very beautifully that, look at dunya with the eyes of deen and akhirat. And don't look at akhirat with the eyes of dunya. That is what we are doing. So we don't see akhirat. We don't prepare for akhirat. It doesn't exist. But look at dunya with the akhirat, with the eyes of akhirat, with the eyes of deen. What Allah has declared, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Dunya is only a deception. Little bit outward benefit you get, but that is also a deception. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعٌ قَلِيلٌ. Very little. And وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. Akhirat is the everlasting, forever and ever. So we have to make those things our benchmark. Not the things of this dunya. But unfortunately, by and large, the vast majority of people, that is the non-Muslims, they are in the majority, they are thinking, looking at things only from a dunya side of view. And the sad part, we were supposed to lead them to the right. We were supposed to teach them, but we are following them. And as we know, that the enemies, whether it's the Jews, the Christians, the Hindus, whoever, they have got Muslim governments on their side. With the poor Palestinians, all around them, from two aspects, they were supposed to get full support. There are Arabs all around them. And just as an ethnic process, we are Arabs, they are Arabs. They should be helping the Palestinians. And then we are Muslims, they are Muslims. From that point, and that's a greater point, that we are Muslims, all brothers, help us. And not only that we are Muslims, even if they are Muslims of Somalia, the Muslims of Afghanistan, we are not related to them, we are different clan, different people. But the common factor is Islam. We are Muslims, and that's a more important factor on that basis. But they have deserted them. In fact, they openly helping Israel against the Palestinians. Just imagine, a baby is in the womb of the mother, and that baby now is formed already. It's looking all the time for support from the mother. That my mother will protect me, my mother will look after me, my mother will feed me, and the same mother goes for an abortion. and she has the baby killed, from whom she had full hope of my protection of my life, but she is the one who orders the murder and the killing of the baby. This is unfortunately the sad condition we find ourselves in. Then it is not only the Muslim government, but today they have worked, and Shaitan is overworking all the time. They have got now Muslim people and the learned in the Muslims, the ulama, to also aid them. For example, the killing of one thing is the killing of Islam that's taking place. Like in Saudi Arabia, the birthplace of Islam, and everything opposite of Islam today is being enacted there. Right in the city of Medina Sharif, right in the city of Makkah Sharif, what's happening in Jeddah and what's happening in Riyadh, that is much more worse. But right in these cities, Islam is being destroyed and killed. Muslims are being destroyed and killed. Islam, more serious than the Muslim killing of Muslims, is the killing of Islam. That is comes first. The first thing is Islam, the deen which Allah has given. And today, not only the Arab countries and Arab governments and Muslim governments, but non-Muslims are killing Islam. And the Muslim people are aiding them in killing Islam and in destroying Islam. And the sad case today, they have got how many ulama also now involved. Just some with some words, fancy words that said they put it in a different way, but it is the same thing, the killing of Islam. Whether it is bringing of a new type of Islam, a modern Islam, a watered-down Islam. Islam is only one. When Irbad ibn Sariya, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, reports, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave a bayan. That bayan was so effective that wajilat minhul qulub, the hearts were in tremor, everyone's heart, shaking and in tremor. Zarafat minhul uyun, tears were flowing from the eyes of the people. And they all felt this is a farewell sermon, the last talk of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let us get parting advice. And they asked Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what particular advice you give us? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for one said, satara ikhtilafan kathira. You'll see a lot of ikhtilaf in the ummah. At that time, fa alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafai rashidin al-mahdiyin aw kama qala. At that time, what must you do? Hold on firmly to the sunnah. My sunnah and the sunnah of the Khulafai Rashideen. That is what we must hold on to. At that time, when this ikhtilaf will come, don't go for a watered down Islam. Don't go for a modern Islam. Don't go for YouTube and TV Islam. Go for the original Islam. Clear, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said. And Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said also that you will see new things are brought into Islam. Muhdasat, bid'at, new things are brought. And that also we are seeing it's happening. Not only new things in Islam, a new Islam is being presented. An Islam which is prepared in the White House of America, which is prepared by the United Nations, which is prepared in the Kremlin of Russia. A new Islam is being offered. And sadly, not only the Muslims, the learned in the Muslims, the ulama are promoting that. Whether it is in the name of interfaith and justifying interfaith, which any person can see clearly, it's totally wrong. A person is saying that all these conditions of Palestine, the world, what difficulties Muslims are going through, but which guna have we given up? And that person himself is involved in guna at that time. That he is addressing a mixed audience of men and women. They are looking at him and he's looking at them. And he's saying that public layman say, how blind can we become? How blind can a person be to be an open public guna? And the sad part is he's quoted again just a few years ago that how he emphasized on parda and that women must not come out from their homes. And then he's quoted where he's crying that allow our daughters to go to university. What times we are living in. So all this, Allah Ta'ala says, it will happen. All this fitnas will come. At that time, stick to the sunnah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that taraktukum alal bayda. I left you on a clear path. Nobody has to be confused. No ulama and no public people. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam declared, I left you on a clear path. And so clear, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam described and defined it. Layluha kanahariha. It's night, it's like it's day. In other words, in night it's dark. But that night is also full of light. I left you on a path where there is no night in it, where there are no black spots, where there are no grey areas. They are clear, very clear. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Al-halalu bayyinun, wal-haramu bayyinun. Halal is clear, everyone knows, public knows, haram is clear. Then they are the doubtful, so give up, don't go near the doubtful. You are falling into trouble if you go into the doubtful. Just stick to the halal. It's simple, straightforward. Don't go into the grey areas. Just stay in the halal. So these things, Allah Ta'ala says, that it has come for widespread, zahar al-fasadu, fil barri wal-bahri, on land also, and on the seas also. All the different hardships and catastrophes, and all the fasad, all the trouble has become widespread. Bima kasabat aydin nas, on account of what man is doing. It is all written. Allah knew that man is going to do all this. So Allah wrote it down. So Allah is not to blame. Allah just kept the record of it. And Allah could have controlled it. But then there should be no test. If we are all forced to bring iman, there is no value to that iman. That iman which is ikhtiyari, which is of our choice, that has got iman. And forcing a person to accept iman, but he hasn't got iman in his heart, that outward iman of his has got no value. It must come from within yourself, that conviction from you, it has to come. Amal must come of your own. It's a different thing for tarbiyat and for training. We teach our children to make namaz. We teach our students to live a life of obedience. But it has to be what you do of voluntarily from yourself. And how much you do it with a few, with a free, voluntary basis, so much is the value of those amal. The quantity can be what it is, but the quality is how much you are convinced and with passion and with desire, so much so that you want to get up for tahajjud, but you could not get up. That desire, that genuineness of yours is so much appreciated by Allah, though you didn't get up, you didn't make tahajjud, but the sawab is written for you. So in so much is the value by Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala has made this zahar al-fasadu fil barri wal-bah bima kasabat aydin nas liyudhiqahum ba'd alladhi amilu, so that they can taste some of what they have done, and not the full taste also. Walanudhiqannahum min al-adhab al-adna dun al-adhab al-akbari la'allahum yarji'un. We will make them taste of a small punishment, so that we save them through that from the big punishment. And all this so that they can make tawbah, so that they can come back to us. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, he pleaded with his people, and how he pleaded, laylan wa nahara, in public and private, day and night, how he pleaded with his people that listen to the commandments of Allah. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went to Taif to invite them to the deen of Islam, they wouldn't listen. They put their youngsters, like the wild people, behind Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who started stoning Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So much of blood came that his shoes got clogged and stuck to his feet. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam felt unconscious. And only when somebody sprinkled some water, he became conscious again. And when he became conscious, what was his work? He went back to the people and told them, I'm the true Nabi of Allah. How you people are harming me, throwing stones at me, causing me this difficult. I just want this from you, that in the qabr the farishtas mustn't punish you. That on the day of Qiyamah you must not suffer. I don't want you to suffer in Jahannam. That is why I'm coming. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went through all that just so that man can save himself. So Allah gave the, and this also, وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ ظَهَرُ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. So that they could return, go back to Allah. That is what Allah wants. We just go back to Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. We turn and correct and mend our ways. And the other, so that is as far as the whole world is concerned. Then individually, Allah has also broken that down and brought it to our clear attention. وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ. And all of you together, that means every individual in all of you, no musibat reaches you. Musibat, even the prick of a pen, or even anything, that no musibat comes to you, إِلَّا بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. But what you have done, it's your own doing. You bring it upon yourself. Allah says in another ayat that at the end of 5 Supana, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ. What has Allah got to punish you? مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِإِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. If you make shukr and you bring iman as you are supposed, you do what you want to, what you have to do, Allah won't harm you in any way. مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا. One great quality of Allah is shakir. That is the one who makes shukr. For what must Allah make shukr? Who makes a san on Allah? Who does any favors on Allah? But Allah is such that when you do what you have to do for your benefit, whatever will you do good in أَحْسَنْتُمْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. If you do good, you do it for yourself. You get the best. But Allah makes shukr on that. And Allah gives you more on that. Where can we find Allah? Our Allah is so merciful, so kind. And Allah is ni'mul qadirin, ni'mul qadirin. That the person, being that shows the greatest of appreciation. Yeah, how many a husband will complain, I do for you, my family, my wife, so much you people don't appreciate. The wife will tell the husband, I do so much for you, but you don't appreciate. Allah is the one who does everything for us. Not so much, everything. Whatever there can be, whatever morsel of food we put in our mouth, billions and billions of Allah's ni'mat in there. Every breath of air we breathe in, every breath of air we breathe out is only the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is everywhere, all the time, doing everything for us. But how much do we appreciate? So all this Allah Ta'ala has done, it is for our benefit. So if we will do it, then we will get the benefit. But Allah rewards us on that also. Like for example, you go and buy something from a shopkeeper, one loaf bread, a liter of milk. You buy it, you got it, you paid him, finish. The shopkeeper won't now give you something because you came and buy from me. But Allah, you make dua to him, he accepts your dua and he pays you for dua. You get sawab for making dua also. He gives you what you wanted. And then it's because of your dua, that's an ibadah. So you get sawab for the dua also. A person is supposed to do his duty. And he's just fulfilled his duty. But Allah, you fulfill his duty and he rewards you for that. And you can't imagine, Allahu Akbar. Just now somebody brought it to my notice that every Allahu Akbar a person says, the reward of it is the qurbani of one camel. Kurbani time, we only make no usually goats, sheep, oxen, few of us make cows, and a camel, but every Allahu Akbar, the sawab of it is one camel kurbani, Allahu Akbar. In the adhan there are 6 takbirs, but we don't give jawab to adhan. If we give 6 there, in the takbir there are 6 takbirs, in the iqamah. 12, 4 rakats of namaz, every rakat 6 takbirs. Though not faras for us to say, the first takbir is faras. The others, when we are changing, if we don't say, our namaz will, but inshallah all of us do say, when we go in ruku, when we go into sajda, get up from sajda, 48, 6, 24 in our 4 rakats of namaz.
24 in the Adhan in Takbir. How many camels? Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to make the zikr of Allah. And these the baqiyatu salihat. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. So valuable, so valuable. Whenever we have any free time, just be busy reading them. We are earning, our earnings will be so great. Many people today, their earnings are sitting by the computer. Perhaps the wife thinks, and she accuses also the husband, you don't do no work. Whole day you're sitting by the computer. But he's doing all his earnings there. He's busy working. But the big earnings, you might be just lying, resting. Even with your legs stretched out. Even on a soft bed, and you are making the zikr of Allah, you are doing the biggest earnings. And by which everything of dunya will also be sorted out. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he used to be in tahajjud, and he thinks of his children and the future of his children, he should make dua more passionately, turn more in his ibadat, and he should say, this I'm doing for my children. Because Allah says, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. If we are pious, that is looking after our children. It isn't that we don't make namaz, we are smoking, we doing the wrong thing, and we hit the lights of our children and force them to do this and do that. Now we come right, that is the looking after our children. And this is tafsir Ibn Allama Alusi in Ruhul Maani says, the father of the 10th generation, he was pious, 10 generations low, Allah looked after those children. So we have to become pious. So we change our ways. So Allah Ta'ala says that وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُّصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُو عَن كَثِيرٍ. It is only a little bit also, just a taste of what you have done. And Allah again emphasizes and makes clear, vast majority of your wrong things, we have forgiven those things. You can easily say 99% Allah doesn't take us to task. The little problem, and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, whenever a person is caught out doing something wrong, he's exposed, be 100% sure it's not the first time he's doing it. Allah's system is that when you do wrong, he doesn't take you to task immediately. It is like you are filling your cup, and your cup is getting full with guna. If you make tawbah istighfar, the level goes down again. But you don't make tawbah, you're just committing guna. And so much guna that now it's overflowing. At that time you get exposed. Otherwise Allah gives you a chance. How many, all of us sitting here, which gunas haven't we committed? But Allah is, that is Allah's ihsan. We disobeyed him in front of him. And still he kept us, our gunas covered. And to get a glimpse of that, one buzur, genuine, great, Allah wala, he knew that in his town, in his area, there is one kafan chur, nabbash, people who steal the kafans of the dead people. So he knew this one person, so it was now his time to, about to be passing away, so he called for that person. He says, when you take out the kafan of a dead person, and you go and sell it, how much do you get? At that time, he said, 10 rupees. So he said, yes, 20 rupees for you. My kafan, don't steal it. Don't come to, I'm giving you double the amount. Don't steal my kafan. When he was buried, somebody saw in a dream that he went there. And he went and steal the buzur. So the buzur caught his hand. Anyway, they asked the buzur, now what are you going to do about him? He said, I'll ask Allah to forgive him. So when that is the nature of the people, of the servants of Allah, the true servants, then Allah himself, how forgiving and how merciful is not Allah Ta'ala. So what we have to do is to turn to Allah, change our life. That is the solution. We obey, as Allah says, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ. Allah will not punish you in any way whatsoever. مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. You make shukr. And you may bring your iman correctly on Allah. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا. Allah knows everything. You do so much for your wife and your children, they're not aware of it. How are they going to make shukr? Your wife does so much for you, you're not aware. But Allah fully knows everything. And Allah makes shukr to you. He rewards you for all that. He gives you so much in return. So how is it possible that we don't turn to Allah? It's impossible that we don't turn to Allah. But we make the impossible possible. Still we don't turn to Allah. Still we, our nafs is our open enemy. Shaitan is our open enemy. We still listen to nafs and we still listen to shaitan. We should be following the commands of Allah 100%. We should be die hearts of Allah from the bottom of our heart that we'll give everything for Allah and then see what Allah will do for us. Imagine where the world was before the coming of Nabi alayhi salam. When Allah sent that perfect Nabi to us and He gave us that perfect religion, then those people who are hardcore, kufr, kafir, and they had vowed they will never change, their hearts melted also. Those who had promised they will never change, and Allah gave us that religion before the advent of Islam, the amount of evils that were widespread. Unbelievable to believe what evils there were. But all that got changed in a period of not really 23 years also. 10 years of the life of Medina Sharif. That is a great miracle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That how he changed the world, the system of the world. And from the rock bottom, he took them to the height of the highest in a period of 10 years. In that 10 years, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was a husband, was a father, was a statesman, was an abid, was a zahid, was everything in every aspect. He had time to even talk to people, to joke with people also, and achieved this great achievement and gave it to us ready on the plate. Now it is just for us to practice upon that. And we will see things will come right in the world. In every aspect things will come right. Our Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shah, Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahimahumullah, explained so beautifully that amongst the seven people, in one hadith it comes, types of people who will get the shade of the throne of Allah on the day of Qiyamah. Ulama have collected from other hadith and explained there are 14 types of people. Anyway, one of them is the one, Imam al-Adi, the ruler who is fair and just. Hazrat explained that if we take it in the strict and literal meaning, then there are very few people who will qualify. How many rulers are there in the world? Presently, about 200 countries. So only 200 people presently at the time. And then again, of the 200, who is Imam al-Adi? Even of Saudi Arabia, who can we classify as Imam al-Adi? No one. So nobody will qualify for it. Hazrat has explained that every father, every husband, when you become a husband, al-rijalu qawwamuna ala nisa, you are now the imam of your wife. And we make dua, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. Just make all your wife and your children pious and you are imamul muttaqin. So you will also qualify. This person will also. When you have children, you make your children naked and pious. You will be imam e adil. And you will get that sawab of the shade of the throne of Allah Ta'ala. Then Hazrat, what Allah had blessed him with that knowledge, he says that Allah opened on me even more further, that every individual, even if you're not married, even if you don't have children, you can also be Imam-e-Adil. Because this 1.5 meter body of yours, it is like one country, like a country. Like a country has got many provinces, you also got many provinces in your body. The province of the eyes, the province of the tongue, the ears, hands, legs, brains, all the different provinces there are. Now you are the imam. You are the, you control your eyes where they must look. You control your legs where they must walk. So just bring justice. That is the commandments of Allah. in your eyes, look where Allah wants you to look. Don't look where Allah doesn't want you to look. So you have brought Allah's commandments in all your provinces. And when you have done that, you have become Imam-e-Adil. And this all is controlled by the heart. And the chief advisor of the heart is the brains. And this year is not the physical heart of a person. And for the physical, our physical hearts, we are all very worried about it. So much so that even if you don't have any chest pains, you are not short breath or anything, you just reach 40, you yourself think, family people tell you, friends tell you, you are now 40, go for a checkup. Then nothing wrong with you. You go for a checkup, doctor says, I pick up a murmur in your heart. I pick up this in your heart. And he puts you on one never-ending road. From doctor to doctor, from hospital to hospital. You had nothing, no problem in your life. Bail mujhe maar. That I got no problem, I'm inviting people to come and cause me problems. So for this physical heart, everyone is so worried. But the real heart, which is the roof, which connection is mainly with the heart, for that we are not worried. A person can have, and so many people have, 10 heart attacks. One lady in Cape Town, 50 heart attacks she had. And she didn't die. But as one friend of ours said, you can have as many heart attacks, you won't die. But you have a mort attack, you immediately dead. Even if you did not have a heart attack, you have a mort attack. Or you have a mild attack, or you have a heavy attack. If you have a mort, that is when Allah takes out the ruh. But for that ruh, and the ruh controls the body. And the ruh will cause you goodness if the ruh is right. It will cause you all goodness in this world. But if you neglected your ruh and allowed your nafs to overpower your ruh, it will rule you with the things for this dunya. Then you will be a ra'ita manittakhadha ilaha. Have you not seen that foolish idiot person who made his nafs his imam? He is Allah. And whatever his nafs wants, and nafs is inclined, always inclined to the things of this dunya, the lowly things, temporary things, useless things, dirty woman of the street, the nafs inclines to them. Your pure wife at home, your nafs doesn't incline there. Your nafs inclines to all food that is even perhaps haram, that is prepared in the dirty way, filthy way, but healthy, good food, your nafs does not incline to that. And we follow that nafs of ours. So Allah Ta'ala made it clear that to be work on your ruh. وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ لَمُضْغَةٌ. There is one piece of flesh in the body. إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ. This is the ruh which is attached with the heart. Make effort. Let the ruh be controlling the whole body. If you were living in a house, beautiful two-mansion, double-story mansion, and you got one outbuilding which is neglected, you don't look after it, it's not up to every what it should be. But somebody comes in and asks you for some place to stay. You take pity on the person, you give him place in that outbuilding. He takes, now he settles down, and soon now, as in Gujarati they say, his wings start spreading now. Now he comes slowly, slowly, and he eventually pushes you out of the big house. And you have to go stay in the outbuilding. What a sad case that a person who is the legal owner, it belongs to him. He built the house with his own hands and with his own money. And today he's pushed out of that house. But the Palestinians, the whole land, Israel, Tel Aviv, all these places, it's not Israel's place. It's all the how they push them out gradually. And today they are making the Palestinians look as bad. And they are the legal owners. They are the oppressors. They are the big troublemakers. So this person came and you gave him place in your outbuilding. But he worked slowly, slowly, in very subtle ways, in very sweet ways, and he pushed you out and you gone. Like that, the controller of the body is the ruh. But the nafs came and the nafs is very sweet. and very, it comes in the Quran, Hadith Sharif, الدنيا حلوة خضرة. This dunya is sweet, is green, very tempting. All the things of nafs and the things of dunya, Jahannam is covered with all the sweet and delicious things, with all the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. What did it do? It pushed out the ruh, which is the controller of the body, and the nafs is controlling. All we have to do, reclaim again. Like many countries, they want to reclaim land from the sea, where the land was washing away the shore, and now they are reclaiming and making land again on the sea, and building on there, etc. So we must reclaim again the correct ownership of the ruh. Make the ruh the ruler of the body. And once the ruh is the ruler, the ruh is inclined to uluwiyat, towards things of the high heavenly things. Its inclination, it will command all the right things. And it will control the nafs also. But we were negligent all the time. And because of our negligence, we got pushed out of our house. And we went and stayed in the outbuilding. So yeah, also, because of our negligence, we are very worried of our physical body, of our physical heart, of the our physical eyes of the head. But the eyes of the eyes, of the eyes of the heart, that we never worried, can I house my eyes? A person will say in Akhirat, Rabbi lima hashartani a'ma wa qad kuntu basira. Oh Allah, why have you raised me up as a blind person today? I was a seeing person. He was a seeing person with the eyes of the head. He was a blind person of his heart. So Allah will say, you forgot us. You had nothing to do with us. We have got nothing to do with you today. So it is up to us. This is the effort and the solution to all matters, that we bring the ruh back on its place. And this is every in the, and our problems, whatever problems we have got, they are not caused by outside sources. The Jews haven't caused the problems to the Palestinians. The non-Muslims haven't caused the problem to the Muslims. We have caused it when we became negligent. If we are alert and we follow the commands of Allah, no Jew could ever rule a Muslim. No Christian could ever rule the Muslim. We became, and this is explained in the Hadith, that our hearts which are inclined to Allah, and the ruh which is the controlling body, but shaitan, he has announced that I sit like a mosquito on the heart. The minute I find the heart unmindful of Allah, disconnected with Allah, I put my poison in. So we have let down our guard. We didn't put on the alarm system. We didn't protect ourselves, so shaitan took advantage of us. Now, even no matter how much shaitan has taken it, it is just for us that we come back on track again. We start making the dhikr of Allah. We stay in the company of the righteous and the pious people who will teach us about the true deen and going towards Allah Ta'ala. Just start doing that and we will gain control again. And then everything will come in its right perspective. Where the ruh is supposed to be, it will be. If the driver is in the passenger seat, and the passenger doesn't know how to drive, and he comes in the driver's seat, what's going to happen in that car? And what will happen to the driver who went in the passenger seat? Your passenger told you in a sweet way, lucrative way, very beguiling way, that let me drive. And you know he hasn't got a license to drive. And you know he doesn't know how to drive. And you succumbed. And you went into the... What will that? Today, that is what we have done. Just come back again. Put the ruh in the driver's seat again. Let the ruh take over again. And then our Shaykh, Hazrat Mawlana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah explained, you will be Imam-e-Adi. Because in your whole body, you are making the commands of Allah. You will also get the shade of the throne of Allah. One of the ways of dying on Iman, and not only getting the prescription of death on Iman, but that you will get the shade of the throne. And what does that mean, the shade of the throne? It means that there on the day of Qiyamah, the only shade there will be under the throne of Allah Ta'ala. And our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, Jahan saya huga, wahan azab nahi. Where there will be saya, shade, there will be no azab. Jahan saya hoga, wahan hisab nahi. where there will be shade, no hisab kitab also. No worries. Or jahan hisab hoga, wahan saya nahi. And where hisab kitab will take place, you will be drowning in your sweat. Or jahan azab hoga, wahan saya nahi. Where you will be in azab, there will be no shade of Allah. So once you get the shade of Allah, you will be enjoying the dasturkhan which Allah will lay out. And the food which Allah, and in the pleasure of Allah, you are invited somewhere, and you are not, you haven't just forced your way, great crashing. You are invited. Your host loves you to be there. You love your host. And the food which you cannot imagine is prepared. And your body can eat and you've got no problems. No chest burns if you eat this. And no gas problems if you eat that. And no nightmares if you eat this. Just the best, and you can eat as much as you want to. And after eating, you don't have to go toilet also. It will come out in the form of one sweet belch. Not with a terrible smell, but with a sweet smell. It will come out in the form of wonderful perspiration, sweat. Smelling wonderful, fragrance of it will be wonderful. And there you are eating. And you'll see the people doing hisab kitab. All this under the arsh of Allah. All this, all of us, just put the ruh back on its place. And we can become Imam-e-Adil. And we can get in this dunya, Imam-e-Adil lives with peace. And in the qabr he will be with peace on the day of Qiyamah. And after that, forever in Jannah, what will be the enjoyment? So Allah give us tawfiq. Let us realize this. The short lives that we have got, let us not fall prey to our nafs. Let us not follow the kuffar, the enemies of Islam. Let's lead ourselves to righteousness, lead everyone. Whatever our problems are not outside us, they are in us. Whatever our solutions are, they are not from any other person, any outside source. The solutions are within us. Our problems are our own making. And the solution is our own doing. What we make our solution, we have got no one to blame. Why this problem came to me? Our biggest enemy, our own sins. Not the sins of other people. Not the zulm people make to us. If they make zulm to us, Allah uses them because we did wrong. Otherwise, Allah won't use anyone to make zulm on us also. We must come right. We make dua for the Palestinians all the time. But a person is crying for help from the Muslims of the world. And he's got a t-shirt on with the Nike picture, with the Nike tick here on his body. So we are bringing it upon ourselves. Make dua for the Palestinians and all the people. The wrong that we are doing, imitating the kuffar. Allah, take out these wrong things from us. And here locally also we should think how many good people, especially now, one of the worst fitnas that are here now, the paddle tennis. And they are breaking, how many homes have been broken up? How many people, we couldn't ever think of tahajjud namaz. But 2 o'clock in the morning, paddle tennis, we are wide awake. Yeah, we couldn't think of anything. But now for all this filth and dirt, and they made it such a way, Muslims are owning this place. And some places the Masjid Committee owns the place. And they are running this. How blind have we become? Allah give us tawfiq to understand, to turn to Allah in sincerity, inshallah, and to fulfill the commands of Allah Ta'ala.